Our Bible reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 to 18, and then 21 to 22. People's hopes began to rise, and they began to wonder whether John, perhaps, might be the Messiah. So John said to all of them, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is much greater than I am. I'm not good enough even to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He has the winnowing shovel with him to thresh out all the grain and gather the wheat into his barn. But he will turn the chaff in a fire that never goes out." And in many different ways, John preached the good news to the people and urged them to change their ways. The baptism of Jesus. After all the people had been baptized, Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit came down upon him. In boldly from like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my own dear son, I am pleased with you." Praise be to God.
"I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." At the start of the new year, our readings, having passed Christmas, take us into Luke's Gospel, the Gospel that throughout this church year we'll find ourselves looking at again and again. And they lead us to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the start of his preaching and teaching. It's very appropriate that we've inducted our elders at this point in our year, as the story we hear about this morning is Jesus coming to be baptized by John, offering himself in the way that many around him were offering themselves in response to John's preaching. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The people came to John to be baptized, to signify that they were wanting to start a new life, to begin again. They wanted to acknowledge the things that they'd got wrong, where they had made mistakes, and they wanted to get themselves right with God. Is that something we need to do or want to do this morning? Do we need to be baptized? Do we need to start again? Are we conscious of the fact that somehow things are not right between us and God? That changes need to be made? But before we get to Jesus' ministry, we find ourselves in a place where people are flooding to John the Baptist and beginning to ask questions about who this crazy prophet in the wilderness might be. Could he indeed be the Messiah? Is he the one that we've been waiting for? John answers the questions that may have been on their hearts or may have been in their minds, may have been spoken or may have remained unspoken but were heard by God. "No," he says, "it's not me you're looking for." That's essentially what his reply to their questions is. "I'm not good enough to even untie his shoelaces." The one who is to come. And then John says something that we may not still understand, even many years later. "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." What does he mean? What is he talking about? Is this a baptism that we may not yet have received? I'm unclear about what this Holy Spirit is. I'm not sure I like the idea of fire. John was pointing forwards in time. Jesus was indeed going to come and baptize those who wanted to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But what is it all about? And what does it mean for Christ Church, United Reformed Church, in 2019? The Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, even dare I say this idea of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, in some ways was not unheard of before John came or Jesus preached. There are instances recorded in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit was seen to be active. Think right back to the very beginning of the Bible, from the moments of creation. In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness. And the Spirit of God was moving over the water. Go to Joseph in Egypt. We will never find a better man than Joseph, a man who has God's Spirit in him. And we then find strange occurrences taking place with Gideon and with Saul. It says in Judges 6, the Spirit of the Lord took control of Gideon. Took control of Gideon. And then when Saul turned to leave Samuel, God gave Saul a new nature. And everything Samuel had told him happened that day. When Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a group of prophets met him. Suddenly the Spirit of God took control of him, and he joined in their ecstatic dancing and shouting. People who had known him before saw him do this, and they asked one another, "What's happened to this son of Kish? Has Saul become a prophet?" I could go on talking about the Holy Spirit's presence in the Old Testament, the way in which the Spirit worked in the lives of many people in many different ways. But all I want you to note this morning is that the Holy Spirit being present was not a new phenomenon as such. But John spoke about Jesus baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When and how was this going to happen? And what was it going to mean for those who were seeking to follow God's ways? What does being baptized mean for you? What does it mean to be baptized with fire? In the United Reformed Church, we practice two forms of baptism. For the sake of simplicity, I will simply say that one relates to a sprinkling, maybe the signing of a cross with water, the pouring of some water, usually on a baby's head. The other is baptism by full immersion. What kind of baptism with the Holy Spirit is it that John is talking about? Encountering fire usually means that you're likely to get burnt or hurt. Or might it be better to talk about being purified? The prophet Zechariah records that when the time comes, says the Lord Almighty, a fountain will be opened to purify the descendants of David and the people of Jerusalem from their sin and idolatry. And I will test them. I will purify them as silver is purified by fire. I will test them as gold is tested. And then they will pray to me. And I will answer them. I will tell them that they are my people, and they will confess that I am their God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, "So then, let us purify ourselves from everything that makes body or soul unclean, and let us be completely holy by living in awe of God. John preached about Jesus coming to baptize the people in the Spirit and with fire. And towards the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus spoke to his disciples, those who had walked with him during his 3 years of ministry, and he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Later, they were gathered together in one place, and on that first day of Pentecost, suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. There was a baptism with the Spirit and with fire. Some people might be tempted to say, well, that was it. That was the baptism of the Spirit and the fire that John spoke about. We have the answer to our question. What did John mean? Well, we do, and we don't. You see, John's words were not simply for those who heard them at that time, on that day, in that age. They were words which are still true. Jesus wants to baptize you and me with the Holy Spirit and with fire here today in 2019. How do I know that? How can I say that to you today? Simply because I didn't stop reading the Bible when I got to Acts chapter 2. And because I don't believe that God ceased to exist or ceased to work when the canon of Scripture was closed in the year 320 something or other. I believe that God is still speaking, still working, still alive and active, and wants to be alive and active in our lives and in the lives of our churches. Those churches was actually a God's, not ours. Even though at some times and in some places that is difficult for us to accept. God is in charge. Not us. Not me, your minister. Not our elders that we've inducted. But God. In the URC basis of union, something we didn't read this morning, it says that Christ's mercy in continuing his call to the church in all its failure and weakness has taught the church that its life must ever be renewed and reformed according to the Scriptures under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if we read on in the Acts of the Apostles, we find that there are other occasions when people are baptized with or filled with the Holy Spirit. After Peter and John are taken before the council to explain their actions, healing a man who'd been crippled for 42 years, they were called to account. They return to the church and the believers pray together. And the narrator of the story writes, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Peter goes to Cornelius's house and starts sharing what he knows. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. They heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. The stories continue, examples of people coming to faith, being baptized in water, and then receiving this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, there's a story of a group at Ephesus who, when Paul meets them, he realizes that they've not yet received this baptism of the Spirit. And so he, after teaching them, laid his hands on them. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And those stories, those encounters that people have had with God, have continued down through the ages. Was it something to do with the Holy Spirit that meant that John Wesley had his heart strangely warmed when listening to a sermon on Romans? As you would. And if you have read Romans, you need something to warm your heart. In Aldersgate, which led to his preaching and teaching in a different way, a new way, and with conviction that eventually led to the foundation of the Methodist Church. In 1905, there began a church service in Azusa Street in Los Angeles in the United States, which led in part to the foundation of many of the Pentecostal churches around the world today. On the 3rd of April 1960, getting a bit closer to now, aren't we? We're getting further in time. Father Dennis Bennett spoke about his personal experience of having been baptized in the Spirit in St. Mark's Church, Van Nuys, California, which many will say led to what became known as the charismatic movement around the world that affected many mainline denominations, Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, United Reformed Church, Methodist. And I've really only mentioned so far situations that have generally been things that I've read about in the Western world. I haven't begun to speak about the way in which God has done things in Africa, in China, in many other places around the world, even the Solomon Islands. So if God is still speaking, God is still active and alive, then does God want to work here, in this place? Does God want us to receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit and in fire today? And if God does want that, what might it mean for us? One thing that's likely to be certain is that change will occur. God doesn't stand still. We often hear quoted, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what does that mean? Jesus is someone who will do whatever is necessary to draw close to people, to show people the love that God has for each and every one of them. The Apostle Paul was willing to go to extreme lengths to draw people to Jesus. He was just following Christ's example. And he wrote, "For though I am free and with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so I might by any means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings." Paul had an encounter with the risen Jesus Christ that changed his life, his outlook, what he thought was important, and an encounter, any encounter that we might have with the living, life-giving Holy Spirit is likely to result in the same things happening to us. Are we ready for God? Are we ready for God's power to be released in this place? Annie Dillard wrote a little while ago now what I find to be an amusing statement on what happens in church. And I'd like to conclude by reading it to you and asking you again that question, what does it mean to be baptized by the Spirit and by fire? She wrote, Why do people in church seem like cheerful, brainless tourists on a packaged tour of the absolute? Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense. Or the waking God may draw us to where we can never return. The changes that might come if we're open to what God might want to do with us, with this place, may be simple, may be complex. It may simply be that we are called to love and serve our world in the way that we have faithfully done for years. The call issued to us from God may be something we're already walking in. We may already be walking the way, walking God's way.